8 a.m. having arrived. I'm going to call the Committee on Taxes to order and welcome everybody. And anyone care to approve the minutes? We do have a quorum.
Still moved, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Becker Finn moves the February 20th, 2019 minutes. Any discussion on those? Hearing none, I'm going to call for a vote on the February 20th, 2019 minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The amendments are approved. Did I say the agenda again?
You said the amendments.
The amendments. The minutes are approved from February 20th.
Amendments too.
Representative Fabian, I know tournaments have begun. Any update on hockey tournaments that you would care to mention before we go?
Mr. Chair, first, I'm not sure. I haven't followed it this week. I've been a little busy, like you have too. And I just need to apologize to you for what I said about you this morning at the township meeting.
That was very good. He had to mention, Representative Fabian, he had to leave early because he had a curmudgeon, and not quite those words.
As a, he said as wickedly a, mean.
Wickedly mean tax chair that started at 8 a.m., so we had to leave that meeting a little early. So thank you. And also I want to introduce a couple folks who have been kind of observing and working with Tax Committee and will be doing that. And one is Anya McDonald. If you would stand and just introduce yourself a little bit and where you're going to school.
Yeah, hi. I'm a public policy student at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs, so I'm going to be with the tax committee.
So, welcome. And we also have someone from Cambodia who actually is like the assistant director of their house research or their government research of their national government. And he will be here. So, Lisa, you want to introduce yourself?
Thank you very much for the opportunity that the chair giving me to introduce myself. So, my name is Lisa, just like passport Lisa. I am from Cambodia, and back home I serve a deputy director research for international affairs. Because before there had never been a kind of legislative research body before the establishment of the UDA in the last 2 years. So, basically, we are lacking of funding and insufficient capability to perform as well as inadequate experience in that particular subject. So I am here actually to learn from your best practices, particularly, and also to see what's going on back home. Part of my responsibility to build the capacity building in order to train our staff to perform a better job in research in order to provide updated information to member of parliament. Secondly, I also need to deal with project management. There's a number of things going on as well as dealing with the operation as well as the outreach. To be able to meet people at the students and bring the program, put all those kind of challenges and do the paper and present to the congressman. So I truly, I am truly interested in seeing what you will be dealing with, and I hope you give me the opportunity to learn from all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So thank you, both of you. And members, I want to emphasize what he said, best practices. He's watching this committee, so we've got to be at a very high standard. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Being you asked,
yes.
Waro did beat St. Paul United last night in the first round of the state hockey tournament for girls 4-0.
Very good. Thank you. And I'm going to, you need to keep us updated on this. So, all right. Very good. So we're going to move to the first bill on the House on the committee calendar, and that's House File 1122, Representative Lean. And Representative Lean, if you would like to move your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do move for House File 1122 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the committee's omnibus bill.
Very good. Thank you much. Please proceed.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I appreciate you hearing my bill this morning, House File 1122. HF 1122 would allow for state income tax deductions for unreimbursed employee expenses. These expenses were allowed as income tax deductions on federal income tax filings prior to the passage of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act in late 2017. Because they were allowed as federal deductions and Minnesota bases income taxes on federal taxable income, these deductions then carried over to Minnesota income tax filings. However, with the elimination of this federal income tax deduction, Minnesotans are no longer able to deduct these expenses from their incomes. House File 1122 would restore this deduction on Minnesota state income tax filings. On the nonpartisan House research bill brief, there is a list of some examples of the types of expenses that would be allowed under this deduction. And I also want to point out that this deduction would be subject to the 2% of adjusted gross income threshold that was in place under the old federal tax law. So I can stand for questions, or I believe we do have some testifiers who would like to speak on the bill.
Very good. Representative Lee, let's go to testifiers. So if Ms. Ulm would come forward. Good morning. Welcome to the committee. If you'd please state your name and then begin your testimony.
Good morning, Christine Ulm. If I knew I was coming again, I wouldn't have dyed my hair blue.
It's
okay. I saw you last time.
Please proceed.
My name is Christine Ulm. I'm an electrician and a member of the IBEW Local 292 Minneapolis. Thank you, Chair Marquardt and members of the House Tax Committee, for allowing me the opportunity to provide some input today regarding Minnesota's compliance with the new federal tax laws and support for HF 1122. I appear previously in front of this committee to let you know that we are asking for you to consider not complying with at least one part of the new federal tax code that deals with the non-reimbursable work-related expenses. Along with that same plea, I am asking you today for support to support HF 1122. This bill supports non-conformity of that section of the new federal tax law. In the past, expenses that I have had while working and while seeking work have been deductible. The new federal tax law does not allow those deductions, and this will be hardship on me and my family. This past deduction has been by no means a windfall for working families like mine. This deduction has helped me to make the impact of being unemployed and seeking work or traveling away from families for employment just a little bit more financially bearable. The new tax law feels like a penalty placed upon us to actively seek work to put food on our family's table. I have fellow brothers and sisters across the state that have completed their taxes. They have not come out ahead in any way by not being able to use their deductions that we were once able to apply. They have either had to pay in larger amounts to the IRS or break even. The slight increase on the federal tax standard deduction has not offset these expenses of tradespeople when looking for working in this state. One of my good IBEW sisters in Pennsylvania has now ended up paying in $5,000 more. She made the same amount last year, all because she has lost those federal deductions. Thank you, Chair Marquardt, Representative Lean, and the committee for taking my testimony into consideration. I, along with my fellow working brothers and sisters, support HF 1122. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Holm?
Thank you.
If not, thank you so much. Ms. Heisen. Good morning. Welcome, please. State your name.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the Taxes Committee. My name is Melissa Heising. I'm the Legislative Research Director for the Minnesota AFL-CIO, a labor federation made up of more than 1,000 affiliate unions representing more than 300,000 working people across the state. We support House File 1122. The deduction for unreimbursed employee expenses can amount to thousands of dollars for working people who itemize uniforms, tools, travel and union dues, and that was eliminated in the 2017 federal tax bill. So we would like to see these expenses be deductible on Minnesota taxes, and we thank Representative Lean for carrying House File 1122.
Thank you. Chair Davids.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, and I would just speak in favor of House File 1122, the Lean bill. This is something that was taken care of in last year's bill, and I think it's very, very important, because even though as a trade-off the standard deduction was raised, a lot of people in this situation have a lot more deductions than people in, if you would call it a more normal situation. Not that you're not normal, but this is a very, very important bill for these union members, and I hope we can include it in the bill.
Mr. Hall?
Great.
Please say your name. Good morning.
Perfect. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Max Hall, and I represent AFSCME Council 5. We are a labor union representing more than 43,000 working people in the state. I would first like to start off by thanking Representative Lean for reaching out to us and other stakeholders on House File 1122. As you've heard from the previous testifiers, and I won't elaborate further beyond their points, but this is a very important piece of legislation for working families, and I also appreciate, Mr. Chairman, the conversations that we've had on this very important bill as well. I think it's worth noting a couple of the deductions that were repealed in the 2017 tax bill. For us, it's very clear that working families were negatively impacted, especially with this deductions repeal. Home offices, home office expenses, medical examinations that are required by an employer, tools and supplies, which you've heard from my union sister about, travel, transportation, meals, entertainment, gifts, and lodging, union dues, work clothes, and the list is very expansive, as you can tell from the House research brief. This bill is relatively small in terms of its cost, and I think that's worth noting as well. And the fiscal note that was prepared by Revenue highlights the fact that 93,400 returns are impacted. That's directly impacting the lives in a positive way of working families. And so we, again, would just like to reiterate our support for House File 1122, and thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Representative Lean, for bringing this forward and hearing our comments.
Very good. Any questions for Mr. Hall? Seeing none, thank you very much. Is Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this question is for nonpartisan staff, I think. Am I correct that because we have not conformed with the federal law yet, these deductions are still valid in Minnesota's tax forms and so forth? It just requires a little bit more work to do them. Is that correct?
Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, yes. So because we have not conformed to the changes through the TCJ of 2017 for the purposes of 2018 tax filing in the future and until the legislature makes a decision on conformity, these are allowed at the state level.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That helps a little bit so at least people can still get those deductions this year.
Anyone else in the audience who would like to testify for or against House File 1122? Seeing none. Members, any questions for Representative Lean, the author of the bill? Representative O'Neill.
And I apologize if he already said this, but when I'm looking at the bill, it's the date is March instead of December for the first date, March 31st of 18. Just wondering why he chose that date as opposed to December.
Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chair, Representative O'Neill, I think that that date was chosen because it's after the Bipartisan Budget Act that was passed in March 2018, so there's some additional changes that would be incorporated by reference. So the bill sort of says we think we should conform, but not on this one provision of the TCJA, but okay. I think it's saying we want to conform on that those changes in the Bipartisan Budget Act.
Any other questions? If not, Representative Lean, any closing comments?
Mr. Chair, committee members, I appreciate you hearing the bill today, and I hope we can include this in the omnibus bill. So thank you.
Representative Lean renews the motion to lay over House File 1122 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much. Next up is House File 1154. Representative Chong. Welcome to your committee. Would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Chair. We'd like to move House File 1154 for possible inclusion.
Very good. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. I'm here today to move House File 1154, which is the nonprofit unrelated business tax income, which is provides a exemption for nonprofit organizations here in the state of Minnesota. This bill is important because Minnesota's nonprofit is an important part of a strong and thriving community. I know this because I work for nonprofit organizations and know firsthand the value that nonprofits provide for our communities here. This bill will provide an exemption for unrelated trade or business income that comes into nonprofits and will not conform with the federal tax bill, which does not provide this exemption for nonprofits. And so, here with me is Emily, that will speak a little bit further to some of the impacts that this bill has for our nonprofits here in the state of Minnesota.
Very good. Welcome. If you would state your name, please, and please proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Mark Wharton, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Emily Robertson. I am the nonprofit and exempt organization partner at Rubric Legal, which is a law firm in Minneapolis. And I'm also here today testifying on behalf of the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits. I wanted to make sure everybody's seen that you do have a one-pager that should have been in your files today that was from the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits on this piece of legislation. So I appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of House File 1154, a bill that would ensure Minnesota does not conform to the federal UBIT changes impacting nonprofits. I spend much of my practice advising nonprofits on tax issues because I appreciate that tax law is meant to ensure that an organization's funds are used for certain purposes. Since the vast majority of organizations are charities, that means that tax law is meant to ensure that funds are used for charitable purposes. Before UBIT, as long as an exempt organization used the revenue from an unrelated business for their mission, that revenue was not taxable. However, this resulted in an advantage to businesses that were otherwise indistinguishable from their taxable competitors, and UBIT was introduced as a means to level that playing field. The policy rationale behind UBIT is important to understanding why these new provisions are problematic. So at the federal level now, we have a new provision, 512A7, which places a tax on the expense of providing parking and transit benefits to a nonprofit's employees. What is taxable is not the value that an organization provides to its employees, but instead merely on the expenses that the organization incurs. In the parking context, that means that the organization is not only taxed on amounts it pays to a third party for specific spots for its employees, but also in situations where the organization owns or leases all or part of a parking facility, and the expenses the organization must include span a wide range of maintenance and upkeep expenses. This change is clearly going to impact large organizations and employers like hospitals, colleges, and universities. Those organizations know they're going to be paying significantly more in UBIT. The vast majority of organizations, which make up my client base, are smaller and less savvy, and this change is largely flying under their radar. I'm talking about organizations that have $1 to $10 million a year in revenue and don't realize that there is a new tax on their expenses. A great example of this is a church in an urban area or location where parking is at a premium and they reserve spots for their employees. The other new provision we're talking about today is 512A6. Under prior law, a nonprofit could use losses from one unrelated business to offset profits from a different unrelated business. This provision, which requires putting activities in what we call silos, is complex, but more importantly, it imposes a different standard on the nonprofit sector. For-profit companies are not required to separately calculate their income on different activities, and so this is not only leveling the playing field, it's putting exempt organizations at a distinct disadvantage. Like 512A7, this change is going to obviously significantly affect larger organizations, but also a lot of smaller organizations. For example, imagine a theater company that sells T-shirts, mugs, and other similar items at all of its performances to raise money. Imagine that same organization makes these items available for sale online. Add to that advertising that it sells in its playbills. Under prior law, these all grouped together and could offset each other, but now the organization may be calculating each separately. So these two changes are complex and are going to result in significantly more organizations filing an M4MP and paying tax, and will result in less money and time going towards their missions. If you want Minnesota to maintain its reputation as the land of 10,000 lakes and 10,000 nonprofits, then as you are putting together your tax bill, I urge you to not conform to these federal changes. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much, Ms. Robertson. And this came up kind of late in the session last year as we were kind of working through the tax bill, this issue. It was kind of under the radar until late. But Mr. Williams, you want to talk a little bit about, and one thing Ms. Robertson mentioned is how you're able in the past to use losses from one unrelated business activity to offset the gains in another one. And that, as you mentioned, Ms. Robertson, that was gone. But you want to just explain some of that a little bit, Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chair and members, so I think the testifier and the chair described it fairly accurately. So if a nonprofit is running a business that's sort of unrelated to its core mission, so maybe selling advertisements in a playbill and running a gift shop for the theater or something like that, prior to the TCJA, they sort of would have just added all of those activities together and sort of filed as one kind of for the UBIT, for the purposes of the UBIT, and now they sort of have to calculate the amount of income from each of those activities separately and then add them together. But if there's essentially you can't add a negative number to the total. And so if one of those activities had a loss, then it would not offset the gains in another area.
Thank you. Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I definitely am a strong supporter of our nonprofit community. And I think Minnesota has really benefited from that. In fact, I was involved long ago in helping found the Council of Nonprofits. But we just had a hearing recently in the Health and Human Services Committee about a transfer from one of our nonprofit organizations, at least we've always interpreted it as nonprofit, Medica, of $90 million from Minnesota to a for-profit entity that was set up based in Wisconsin. And that has caused concern about whether or not our healthcare dollars are being spent in Minnesota. And so we had an interesting and confusing hearing about how what I think of as one entity had a very complicated chart with about seven or eight different entities with different shaped boxes on whether it was a for-profit subsidiary or a nonprofit subsidiary. And I'm wondering if, as this moves along, we might want to use the skills of Ms. Robertson or in our council to think about whether we want to put a size limitation on this, or, I mean, we're talking about businesses with hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's a pretty complicated case, but I suddenly looked at this bill a little differently because of how it would impact that. We're all learning about how complicated these structures can be.
Very good. Representative Peters,
please. Thank you. And again, I would just reiterate that because we haven't done conformity yet, these are still in place, at least at the state level. But my other question came in regards to the revenue note. Are we sure that the department has included all of the write-offs and everything else that is possible for unrelated business income tax stuff as well, or is there still some issues being worked on for that?
We can find that out. I don't know if we can find that out in from the Department of Revenue and get back to Representative Peters, but I don't know that answer right now. Anyone else question Ms. Robertson at this point? All right. Thank you so much. Representative Chong, do you have any other testifiers before I go to the audience?
None right now, but thank you, Chair.
Well, is there anyone in the audience who would care to testify for or against House File 1154? Seeing none. Members, any questions for Representative Chong? Representative Chong, if you care to finish her off.
Chair Marquardt, thank you for the opportunity for hearing this bill. Coming from the nonprofit sector, it's a bill that I know impacts me. My old nonprofit, we were housed inside of a church, and I know it will definitely impact them too. And so, you know, like said before, this bill is also supported by the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits, and it has more than 2,200 members. And so, thank you for this opportunity. I hope that this bill will be looked on favorably. Thank you.
Representative Chong, thank you for bringing this forward. And Representative Chong renews his motion to lay over House File 1154 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Thank you. Next up is House File 215, and Representative Anderson. And there will be an amendment to this. Would someone care to move House File 215 for Representative Anderson?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Fabian moves House File 215 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. And members, there is an A1 amendment, which looks like it changes some dates. Representative Fabian, would you like to move the A1 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Fabian moves the A1 amendment. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, I'm going to call for the vote on the A1 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Representative Anderson, welcome to the committee. Good morning.
Thank you much.
And I think I saw you over at the township breakfast also this morning.
Yes, so we scurried on over here and wanted to be here with the good chair of the tax committee.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill, thanks to this committee, the Property Tax Division, and the legislature, helped the city of Melrose to recover from a devastating fire to its downtown Main Street back in September of 2016. And an aid package was put together, the sales tax exemption and the remediation for the city. And it looked as though they may not get all finished up with a developer in time to meet the original deadline. So we had a bill in last year's tax bill that granted this extension, and it was part of the infamous bill that was vetoed. So we're back again this year. And what the amendment did was Ms. Dalton recognized that the time from December 31st until this bill may be enacted was kind of a time that wasn't covered in the original bill. So the amendment covers that time from when the sales tax exemption elapsed until hopefully when this bill would be enacted. So that's what the amendment does. But Mr. Chair, it just basically extends for a couple of years, gives the city time to work it with a developer, time to get it all finished up and get all the T's crossed, I's dotted, whatever, and get done with that and get that block rebuilt in the city of Melrose. And the city would certainly appreciate the extension on that remediation bill that was passed a couple of years ago. So with that, Mr. Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions, first of all, right now for Representative Anderson? If not, is there anyone from the audience who would care to testify for or against House File 215 as amended? Seeing none, Representative Anderson, any closing words? And I appreciate your efforts on this. I have driven by that site in Melrose as I come down. I stopped there. Now the city administrator has a new job in Becker County.
Correct.
Where
yes.
I represent part of. So
yeah. So the city would appreciate the extension. They're working on the project. Working with a developer. And this is key, really. It kind of stopped when this expired at the end of the year. So this is key to help them get that development going and get that entire city block worked on and rebuilt again. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Fabian renews his motion to lay over House File 215 as amended for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much. We have Chair Driskowski.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members.
Good morning. Would someone care to move House File 695? Representative Leslegard moves House File 695 for possible inclusion in the tax omnibus bill. Representative Driskowski, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, this bill was in last year's omnibus tax bill that didn't make it all the way through to the finish line. By the way, I do miss this committee, Mr. Chair, and I'm still on the Property Tax Committee, so see a number of you there. This is a bill that provides both property tax abatement and sales tax exemption for the reconstruction of a business that burned down in a spectacular fire on March 11th of last year in the city of Mazeppa, and so it's for one individual business. Mr. Chair, members, this bill is written to conform with the past practices that we have done here really for each community, at least since I've been here in the legislature for these types of exemptions. It's that, no more, no less. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Representative Ruskowski. Any questions from members on House File 695? Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, just a question. And so who is benefiting from the exemption? Would that be the insurance company or the individual property owner that we probably all want to help?
Representative Driskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Carlson, the property tax abatement is paid to the city and the county, as the city and county did abate the property taxes. The sales tax exemption exempts the redevelopment of the property, which will be by either the current or a future business owner if as they look at rebuilding the property.
Representative Carlson.
The property tax part of it, but I was asking about the sales tax part of it in terms of who benefits. I don't really have any problem with the bill, but it's something to think about. You know, if we're giving an exemption like this and if it's a fully insured piece of property, who would necessarily benefit? But I won't belabor the point.
Okay. Very good. Any other questions or comments? Have I asked it? Anyone from the audience who would like to testify for or against House File 695? Seeing none, Representative Druskowski, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Very good. Representative Les Lagarde renews his motion to lay over House File 695 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much. Members, that concludes our agenda. Just looking ahead a little bit, we will for sure not be hearing the governor's tax portion of his budget next week. We're maybe hopeful it'll be ready by March 4th. But for sure, by March 11th, we'll be hearing that. So we will be having that once they have 15 days to put the proposal into a bill form. And so when they have that, then we will hear the governor's bill and take testimony and so forth. So other than that, members, thank you for trudging through snow and wind and everything else and doing good work. And is there anything else for the good of the order? Otherwise, have a good weekend. Thank you. We are adjourned.